Good morning, everyone. I want to thank each of you for tuning in with us here this morning. My name is Eric Hicks. I am the minister for the Hiawatha Church of Christ and the Sabetha Church of Christ. At the Church of Christ, our goal is simply to be New Testament Christians. We accomplish that by speaking where the Bible speaks and remaining silent where the Bible is silent. If that is something that you have been searching for, we invite you to come and join us for worship service. In Hiawatha, we are located at 3rd and Osage. We begin on Sunday morning at 8:30 for Bible study, 9:30 for worship service, and then on Tuesday evening, beginning at 6:30, we have our midweek Bible study. In Sabetha, we are located at 3rd and Oregon. We begin on Sunday morning at 10:15 for Bible study, 11:15 for worship service, and then at 5 o'clock, we have our evening worship service, and then on Wednesday evening, beginning at 7, we have our midweek Bible study. If you're in the area, we would love to have you come and join us for worship service and let us be New Testament Christians together. When you think of the word peace, what kind of images come to mind? There can be all kinds of things that permeate through our thinking. We might imagine life without any problems, any trials, or any adversities, that everything seems to be going the way that we think it ought to. And thus, we would have peace. But when we think about peace in the biblical sense of the term, it's actually much greater than even that definition. Because with a peace that comes from God, it does not mean an absence of turmoil, an absence of adversity or tribulations that we might be going through. But even in the midst of those times, we can still be at peace. There was a sailor one time that was asked to describe what peace was to him. And he said that as he was sailing, he would see icebergs on the ocean. And while he was looking at them, he would see the storms that were arising upon the ocean. And he would say that all the turmoil that was going on around you, you'd have the large waves, the thunder, the lightning, and all of these turmoil things that were going on. And yet, when you looked at the icebergs, they were just floating along as though nothing was really happening around them. And so they were at peace, even in the midst of turmoil. And what a great definition when we think about it of what peace really is, when we think about it in the biblical sense. It doesn't mean that everything is going our way or the way that we think it ought to go, but rather it's a peace that it remains ours even when things are not going as anticipated. Think about this. Think about some of the false sources of peace. Jesus mentioned this in John 14 and verse 27, where he said to his disciples, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And so Jesus, in this context, he mentions two different types of peace, one being that of the world, the peace that comes from the world, rather. And so when we think about the peace that the world gives us, it is a type of peace, but it is very dependent upon the outward circumstance. In other words, if things are going good, if things are going well in our lives, then we have a certain level of peace. But when things start to fall apart, that peace quickly dissipates. Another example of that, or a fine example of that, is from Jesus's parable of the prodigal son, and recorded for us in Luke chapter 15. We remember the prodigal son. He demanded his inheritance. He went his way into a far-off land, and he began to waste his inheritance on prodigal living, or wasteful living. And when the money ran out, all of his friends ran out as well. Kind of interesting to notice that as long as the money held out, his friends were there and life was good, and you would say that he had a certain level of peace. But as soon as that was all gone, then his friends left. He began to be in want. There was a famine in the land, and the only job he could find was that of feeding swine. It got to the point where he even desired to eat what the pigs ate. And that's when he hit rock bottom. And when we think about this, this is the world peace that the world offers us. It's a peace that lasts for a little while, but as soon as things get hard, as soon as life gets difficult, it leaves us very quickly. We think about another example of this, and that's from Solomon's research that he did. You remember in the whole book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is trying to figure out what is the fulfillment of life, what really satisfies us as mankind. And so he indulged in all kinds of things. He spared his heart no expense. He had all kinds of riches, all kinds of wealth. He indulged in all kinds of pleasure. He indulged in both wisdom and in folly. He indulged in all kinds of things. And it's interesting as you read through the book of Ecclesiastes that Solomon will stop every once in a while, evaluate what he has done, and he looks at it and he says, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. It's a chasing of the wind or trying to grasp the wind. It just doesn't satisfy. And so he looks at all of these things that the world has to offer, whether it's riches or whether it's pleasure, wisdom, folly, whatever it might be. All of these things, they may seem to have an appearance of peace, an appearance of satisfaction, but at the end of the day, it leaves us cold and empty once again. And Solomon came to the conclusion, we remember at the end of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. This is man's all. So Solomon, at the end of it, he found what the true source of peace and satisfaction was, and it was not found in things the world has to offer, but it was found in God. It was found in fearing God and keeping his commandments. When you think about this peace, this is the peace that we read of in the Word of God. It's the peace that only comes from God, and it is a true, genuine peace. I want you to notice some things about that. The true, genuine peace that comes from God, that it can be found even in the midst of turmoil. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me over to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 4 through verse number 7. Philippians 4 and verse number 7. Within this context, Paul writes this. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You'll notice in verse number 6 that Paul says, he starts off by saying, be anxious for nothing. I think about that just for a minute. We think about the idea of not having any anxiety, being anxious for nothing at all, and we may stop and think, now wait a minute, I've got all kinds of things that I am filled with anxiety about. You know, there's bills to pay, there's health issues that we might be dealing with, there's all kinds of turmoil that might be coming against us, and Paul says, be anxious for nothing. We might be tempted to say, but Paul, you don't understand the things that I'm going through, the things that I'm experiencing. I've got all kinds of reasons to be filled with anxiety. And yet Paul says, be anxious for nothing. And then he says, how to do it. That's one thing I love about the Word of God. It doesn't just throw things out there and saying to be anxious for nothing without giving you the tools to do it. He says to be anxious for nothing, and here's how you do it. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so when we take everything, regardless whether we think it's a big thing that we're dealing with, a big obstacle we're dealing with, or whether we think it's something small and petty that, oh, I don't want to bother God with that, all of those things, we take those before God in prayer. But notice, not just in prayer, but we also come to God with the spirit of thanksgiving. That's so vital because when we're thankful unto God for the things that He has done, what does that do for us? Now, first off, it reminds us of all of the good things that God has already done for us. And when we're thinking about all of the things that God has already done, and then we take another look at that obstacle, whatever it might be, we're all faced with different things. Whatever that is that we're faced with, we are reminded of all the things God has already brought us through. And so when we go to God in prayer and we bring before Him this new obstacle that we're faced with, we face it with faith in God. We face it with certainty. And what is the result of that? Paul says that when we go to God in prayer, we have that thanksgiving in our hearts. We have the peace of God, as Paul describes in verse 7, that surpasses all understanding. And so there's that peace of God. How do we come in contact with it? Are we not anxious for anything? It's by prayer and supplication and having thanksgiving in our hearts and making our requests known unto God. And so when we do that, we do have the peace of God. We notice that not only in anxiety, but even in the midst of death itself. Death itself cannot shake a person who is filled with the peace of God. We remember that Paul said over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul was dealing with some heavy problems there in Asia. And he says this, if you have your Bibles over to 2 Corinthians 1, and let's look at verses 8 and verse 9. Paul writes this. He says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble of which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we were despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." And so Paul was dealing with this threat of death that was looming over his head, just like a dark cloud or something that you have to deal with. It's right there before him, and he's having to deal with it. And yet Paul said, even in the midst of this, where did he put his faith? He said, we put our faith in God who raises the dead. And even in the midst of that kind of turmoil, that kind of heaviness, Paul found peace. You remember later in the book of Philippians, Paul wrote this in Philippians 1 and verse 21. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And then he goes on to say, "But if I live on in the flesh, what will that mean? This will mean fruit from my labor, but yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." Here's Paul. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And if he was given the choice to live or die, he says that to live is needful for my brethren, but to die and to go to be with Christ is far better. And so even in the midst of death, there is peace that we have when we have peace with God. The question we want to answer this morning is, how do we have that peace with God? Turn with me, if you will, over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse number 14. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 14. Here Paul is talking about the middle wall of separation that has been broken down, and broken down by Christ Jesus, who is our peace. Notice what he says. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 14. Paul writes, he says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are afar off, and to those who are near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." And so one thing that Paul is talking about is the middle wall of separation in context between the Jews and the Greeks, the Jews and Gentiles. You have the, under the old law, that the Jews were God's special people that were set apart and sanctified. But in Christ Jesus, that middle wall of separation has been broken down. It is no longer Jew and Gentile, but we're all one in Christ Jesus. And so Jesus gives us that peace. But you'll note that it's not just peace between Jew and Gentile, but ultimately peace between man and God. How do we have peace with God? Well, it's through Christ Jesus, through the sacrifice that he made for us upon the cross when he laid down his life for you and me. His body was broken for us. His blood was shed that through his blood we might have the cleansing of our souls and the forgiveness of our sins, and that we could be made right with God once again. Notice how we have that peace through Christ Jesus. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul said that there is one mediator between man and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. When we think about the mediator, he is the one that speaks to God on our behalf. And so we have that one mediator who is Jesus the Christ. In Hebrews chapter 4, and let's look at 14 through 16, you'll notice what the Hebrew writer says about our blessedness that we have in Christ Jesus. He says this, Hebrews 4, beginning in 14, and we'll go through 16. He says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And so Jesus is our great and merciful high priest. The Hebrew writer will go on a little bit later and talk about more about that. And what he says is that when you compare the old high priests of the Old Testament, they were prevented from continuing as that service of high priest because of death. And then he compares that or contrasts that with what we have in Christ, that Jesus, who is not prevented by death, he lives forevermore, and so he is our high priest continually between us and God, thus making peace. And so Jesus is our mediator, and he is our high priest. In 1 John chapter 2, you'll notice one other description of Christ. And in 1 John chapter 2, and let's look at verses 1 and 2, John writes this. He says, "My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." And so one thing that Jesus is, he is our advocate. He is on our side. He knows what it's like, as the Hebrew writer pointed out. He knows what it's like to be tempted in all points that you and I are tempted in. Yet he has overcome those things without sin. And so you and I, we have an advocate. We have a high priest. We have a mediator in Christ Jesus who has made peace not only through his cross and the sacrifice that he made, but through his continual work that he does between us and God. Again, speaking to God on our behalf. What a joy it is to be a Christian and to have these blessings, this blessedness of peace in Christ Jesus. When we stop and think about the blessedness of peace that we have in Christ, it reminds us of the fact that it is a peace that is different from what the world can give. The world cannot give us this peace, and the world can't take it away from us. The world, again, it tries to give us a peace that is through either riches or wealth or pleasures or some other aspect of that nature. And yet those kind of things, as we talked a moment ago, Solomon discovered, those things let you down real quick. But the kind of peace that we have with God, especially through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the salvation that comes through him, when we know in our minds that our souls and our hearts are right with him, then whatever comes against us, the trials, the tribulations, the things that life sometimes just throws at us because we're human beings. When we're dealing with those things, and yet we know in our heart and in our minds that our souls are right with God, we have a peace in Christ Jesus. Again, the world can't give it to us, and the world can't take it from us. When we think about the peace that we have in Christ, and we follow the things in which he has said to do, we hear his commandments, we have put our faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, "Unless you believe I am he, you'll die in your sins." And we put our faith, therefore, in Christ, that he was more than just a good man, but he was and is the Son of Almighty God. When we repent of our sins, as Jesus commanded us to do, he said in Luke 13, verse 3, and in verse 5, that unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Acts 17, verse 30, Paul said the same thing. He said, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but today commands all men everywhere to repent." And so we repent of our sins, we die to sin, we live for God. We confess his name before men. As Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, he said that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so we confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And finally, we're buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of our sins. Just as Peter told the crowd in Acts 2 and verse 38, when they wanted to know, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to repent, "Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to those who are afar off, as many as our Lord our God will call." Acts 2, 38 and 39. And so when we're obedient to the gospel, we're faithful unto God to the very end, we hold fast to the salvation and to the peace that we have in Christ Jesus, then we can live confidently before God and we can have peace, certainly, in our lives. What a joy it is to be a Christian, to know the peace that only comes to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Would you like to know more about God and his holy will for you? I want to invite you to log on to the website, HiawathaChurchOfChrist.com. That is HiawathaChurchOfChrist.com. There you'll find some information about the church, about the Word of God. You'll find some videos that I think you'll find very interesting. You'll also find some archived radio sermons. You'll be able to make a comment about today's broadcast or ask a Bible question. We look forward to hearing from you. Again, I want to thank each of you for tuning in with us here today. May God bless each of you. and have a great day.